all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin.
How are you, Ellen?
Good. I'm so happy to be co-hosting today.
It's lovely to have you. Yeah, it's so lovely to have you in the chair, babes. Mm,
thank you so much.
Good week.
Yes, yeah, good week. Busy on the showbiz front, as always.
All right. So before you start spilling tea, I'm going to intro the show because we're in for a good one. So we have got Amanda Lovett from The Traitors. She's going to join us on Zoom in about 20 minutes. And I've literally just finished a pre-record with the lovely Paul Brunson from Married at First Sight UK and Celebs Go Dating. And that's a fab interview as well. So what a show. Now, Elle. Let's talk showbiz. What's going on, girl?
Well, obviously, Nella Rose is out of the jungle. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. They got her out of there. Do you know what? I was actually shocked that she left. Like, I know she was favourite to win at the very beginning. Then she had the bust up with Fred. So then she was, like, not favourite to win.
I kind of think that that went against her. People didn't forget that.
Yeah, people didn't forget it. People are still talking about it. And it was one of the first questions she was asked when she came out of the jungle as well. So it's still on people's mind. It was really weird, the whole situation, but it seems like she's got over it, and so has Fred, because they were on this morning and they were talking about it. Basically, she was asked like what she thought of the controversy when she came out. She said she wasn't able to look back at any of the clips, but she was obviously briefed when she came out of the jungle. They'd probably go through with her like what's been said in the media
and what the press are going to pull up, I'm guessing.
What the press are going to say and what people have been saying online and stuff like that. So she was kind of surprised that we were still talking about it, because it had happened like 2 weeks ago. So she was saying for everybody to just get over it, and that her and Fred are cool, and actually just emotions are heightened in the jungle, so she took it wrong or whatever. But yeah, I was wondering what was happening there, because actually she was meant to go on Lorraine live from Australia.
That's right. Did she pull out?
Yeah, she pulled out of that. She said she wanted time to process her emotions since coming out.
You don't stand up, Lorraine.
You don't stand up, Lorraine. I was thinking that's very strange, but maybe she had been told about the backlash.
Yeah,
over
maybe,
Fred,
yeah, she needed to sit down.
Her.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like she had a
wobble. Because I'm guessing you don't know your arse on your elbow. You've come out the jungle. You're now back in reality. You've got a phone. You've probably seen all your Google alerts. You've got management and obviously production saying, right, this is what's been said. Because duty of care, they're going to tell her. Especially before throwing her on live TV for interviews.
Because that's the main question that she's going to be asked about.
Yeah, they've got to ask you, what did you eat for dinner?
Exactly.
It was going to be about that.
It's
so she's pulled out of that. Was there a reason why she pulled out?
She basically just said she needed time to process her experience, which is fair enough.
Fair enough.
But I feel like these reality TV shows, everything moves so quick. You have to kind of roll with the punches.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll be yesterday's chip paper next week, but not this
week.
You know,
not this week.
This week is your time for all of your interviews and stuff like that, and it's good to keep yourself in the spotlight. But
and what did the lovely Fred say? So they kind of weren't sat together, were they? But they was both in. I don't think they're in the Versace anymore, but the lovely hotel they're in. They're not in the camp.
Yes, yeah.
So you leave, you go to the hotel.
Yeah.
What's Fred said about it? Has he been very gentlemanly in his life?
Yeah, he actually really has, and he said he's shocked with the backlash that Nella has received, because he was like, she's such a lovely girl. He knew it was a misunderstanding. He said it was water under the bridge, like even in the jungle. And he said that he's just completely shocked now to see that all the papers still writing about it and stuff like that. So he basically said to leave her alone. She's a nice girl and there's no bad blood between two of them. But it's funny because their interviews were like in the same place. So they were
the same hotel.
Yeah, the same hotel. I think they were right next to each other because they came on one after another on this morning.
Because they always do, like, especially when it was they would sit on their balconies, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They're like, chair on the balcony, camera straight down the lens.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, I mean, he's been kind and obviously he's all right, and he's trying to shoot down. He probably doesn't want to cause no more trouble for
No. And actually, Fred himself, he's not, he didn't come out very well. Like, I was saying last week that I thought he might be a favourite to win, but then he got voted out, and I can see why now. He became very bossy towards the end in the camp. And maybe it's because he was hungry and he wasn't in his element, because he wasn't able to cook any longer, because they had to give each other jobs and whoever was a camp cook could no longer be one.
Yeah.
So once that was taken away from him, Josie had to do it, and actually he was quite like dismissive of like what she wanted to do. He was questioning her a lot. People were calling it misogynistic online. It did come across like that, but actually I just think he's a perfectionist and he wanted to be the camp cook.
Yeah, and I guess when you lose your, because all you have in the jungle, everything's stripped back, isn't
yeah.
it? So all you've got is what you consider your role to be. And when that's taken from you,
yeah.
everyone shooketh.
Yeah.
You're like, shit, like, what do I do? So to us, which sounds stupid, literally you're frying rice and beans.
Yeah.
But if that's all that you're doing, if that's taken from you, you can kind of see how people wobble. But it's a massive example of how something like that can then turn someone's kind of mentality and then you come across very differently. So
exactly.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. It must be frustrating as well for somebody who's like, you know, a trained chef, like really top of his field, and then seeing somebody who like kind of wings it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It must be so frustrating watching it.
And I always think if I was in there, I'd love to be the cook. I mean, and the ones that don't cook and can't cook, I kind of think fair play, be honest about it.
Yeah.
But for some people, like for me, I find cooking quite therapeutic.
Yeah.
Like like when I could go to the gym, not been for a little while, obviously, since the accident. But gym and cooking for me are my two things that kind of just zen me out. It's like meditation.
Yeah, it's so true.
So it's almost like a therapy. So if that's taken, because there's very little to do. How much water and wood can you go and get?
Can you get, exactly. But would you be able to cook? Like last week they had like a kangaroo tail. They had to chop that off.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I would cook it, but I mean, there's that thing when you've got...
Can you do that? And then they had like feet of like alligator or something, and you could hear like Fred was cracking the toes off and
stuff. See, I don't eat nothing out the sea. Meat, I eat. Fish, I don't. But even when you have to see like in restaurants where they're cutting fish's heads off, or if you like they serve out, it's got an eye looking at me.
Yeah.
I can't eat anything that's looking at me.
Oh my God, I'm a vegetarian. I'd be useless.
Oh, so I bet for you that'd be hell.
Oh God, like I'd be living on rice and beans.
Would you still do it, or out of principles, be like, I can't cook a...
I think I would. I wouldn't cook. I definitely wouldn't. I'd let them cook. I would just look away. But I'd say if I was in there long enough, living on rice and beans, I'd probably be converted.
Yeah.
I'd probably chomp down
eventually
a steak.
You're gonna. Yeah. Well, steak's one thing, but a kangaroo's tail or an alligator foot.
Jesus, I'd say anything with a bit of flavour, you'd probably go,
oh my God,
of course
you would. Well, who's your money? Because we're coming to the end of it now. It's like the final hurlon, isn't it? So, hurlon, furlon, furlon. I'm not much of a racer.
Me neither.
What's your predictions?
I reckon Sam has it in the bag.
Do you?
Yeah, he's like an excited little puppy. Everything, like he's almost like a cartoon character in there.
Yeah.
Like everything excites him. And it's really cute to see. It's wholesome. Like he reminds me of a child a small bit, but he's cute. Like,
he is cute. He's... I've done a few jobs with Sam, and that's generally what he's like. And some people are a little bit like, oh, I don't know if that's for real. And I'm like, no, that's generally what Sam's like.
I feel like this far into the jungle experience,
you couldn't keep it up.
You couldn't keep it up. Like your facade would drop, so you can tell that it's truly him.
Do you not think Josie can pull through with it? Because my money was on, not literally, but my money's been on Jos for a while.
Yeah, I'd love to see her win it as well. Like they'd be my top two. They actually done like a secret mission last night together, and I was thinking these two needs their own spin-off show because they're hilarious together. But it was so funny, like they basically had to tar themselves and feather themselves and pretend that they'd done a trial but backed out, and they convinced everyone that happened, then they would win like a pub party where they
Jungle Arms.
That's it, the Jungle Arms. But they were so good together at that. So I don't know, a spin-off.
I reckon they'll both be in final.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll be the top two. Yeah. Yeah, I can't.
And the thing is, as well, I mean, I would love even to win it. I mean, I know them both, love them both. Generally, when it comes to the jungle, I'm trying to think of predominantly who's won. I mean, it's been on about 20 years, isn't it? But generally, girls do better than boys. There's more queens than kings.
Right. Do you think that's just because the people watching it are mostly women?
No, I think it's a hard one to tell, isn't it? I think people, that the British public are very good at voting for nice people.
Yeah.
And the lovely thing about The Jungle, it's not one of them shows where you're voting for people that cause drama and trouble. It's not a reality show where you want egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you want nice people to win. And generally, it's always right. Do you know what I mean? The public always get it.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're right. The public always kind of scoop out the real genuine people.
Yeah.
But I feel like times have changed as well, because 10 years ago, you would have been voting for, like, the real horrible people to stay in because you want the drama. Whereas now we want them out. Like, the two people who are causing the most controversy have gone.
Yeah, now people, I mean, life's hard enough, do you know what I mean? So when you escapism on TV, you just want nice people.
Yeah, and you want to see nice people do well as well, like in life, so I'm glad.
It's, and it's a good moral compass, isn't it, to show that something good can happen to good people.
So more
on that by next week. We'll have our king or queen, won't we?
How quick has that gone?
Gosh, well, what is it? It's Christmas in like 3 weeks.
I know, that's mad.
I'm scared. What else there? What's going on?
So actually, this one. So Ricky Gervais, he has a Christmas Netflix special coming out. It's actually coming out on Christmas Day, but thousands have signed a petition to get it axed from the channel.
Oh dear.
So basically, he called, his jokes are all has all, have kind of always been controversial, right? Like he's known for that, and like he always stands up against like cancel culture and stuff like that, and he thinks that comedy shouldn't be brought into cancel culture, because when we laugh at things, that's how we kind of get over like hurtful situations. And you can even see from his other shows that he does, you know, the kind of dramas and stuff. They're kind of dark humor comedies, and I feel like that's how he gets over loss.
Yeah.
Or like real painful and hurtful situations. So he's trying to do that, but actually it's not coming off well. He calls terminally ill children who have cancer baldies. In one bit, and he also says about the Make-A-Wish Foundation, that why don't the kids wish to be better? And like, it's just not really come off well. People are gone, like, he shared a clip on social media, people have gone off the scale with it. So there's 4,000 people have signed that petition, and actually Ashley Kane, do you know who he is?
Yeah. He lost his little girl.
He did. Chagall loved him, but he lost his daughter Azalea to cancer. She was only 8 months old. But he actually wrote, after hearing multiple jokes about terminally ill children and especially kids with cancer, I had to turn it off. Some things are not funny, especially to parents that have been left behind. I'm so mad at this. So, you know, I can see both sides of it. Like, I can see where the parents are coming from.
Of course.
Like Ricky Gervais probably needs to move with the times a small bit. Like, there's some things that are just out of bounds, and I feel like
there's certain things you just don't touch.
And I feel like children
sick
is probably
kiddies
it.
Being
you
one of them
just wouldn't. So
like I said, there is that very fine line. I think sick kiddies may be, like you say, it's crossing line, but a lot of comedians, I'm just trying to think, there's been huge comedians over the years where how people deal with loss and horrendous things happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, who was it? Like, literally weeks after 9/11 was making jokes about it. But people was like, that's how you deal with...
Yes.
It is, you know, it's the time old thing, isn't it? Laughter is the best medicine.
Exactly.
So you can kind of, it's one of them things, but it's one thing sitting there. And again, I'm not saying that that's funny by any means. Of course it's not. But it's going to hit hard to someone that had someone in the Twin Towers or has got a sick kid compared to someone that's in an audience at the Apollo.
Yeah, totally.
That it's not really that close to home.
Exactly. And I agree. And like, I wonder if there's something in it, like, you know, Ricky Gervais doesn't have any children, but he loves animals. And if you go onto his social medias, you can see that he gives like so much money to animal charities. Mm. And he's always talking about his love for animals and dogs. And he's actually given 1.9 million of the proceeds of this tour to an animal charity. And like, I was thinking today, it would have been so good if he gave it to a children's cancer charity.
Yeah.
Especially because he never really does jokes about injuring animals, hurting animals or anything like that. But this just seems... I don't know.
Yes, yeah, so maybe that'd have been a nice way to go, do you know what, but I've gave 2 mil to...
I think that would have been a nice...
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because where does the line really come with comedy?
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's almost doing a social experiment here, because that was the clip that he released on his social media, and I feel like he knew that that's going to be the most controversial clip.
Yeah.
So I wonder...
Well, you've got to hope it is, because if it's not, and there's more to come Christmas Day as well,
oh,
blimey. It's all you want when you're sat there with your turkey.
Totally. So, it would bring the mood down, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Like, Yeah, it's a funny one. And yeah. I don't know if there's any right or wrong. I mean, because both, there'd be pros and cons and arguments from both sides. But I personally can kind of see what Ashley's saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, thankfully, I've not been in that situation. God, mm-hmm. you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy, would you, losing a kid? But kiddies.
I know. No. It's just one that you don't.
You just don't touch it.
No. And I feel like he's used that clip for... To start this discussion. I think he wants people to talk about what comedy's role is in society these days. I feel like that's what he's doing, but he hasn't responded to any of the controversy
over the hit back of it all.
Yeah. So we'll
more
see.
On that one.
Watch this space.
What else is going on? Busy week.
Busy week. I know. So Chrissy Teigen, she said that she actually done ketamine therapy on her 38th birthday, which was last Saturday. Now, have you heard of ketamine therapy?
I've heard of is it ket?
Yeah, the drug.
I've heard of it. Yeah, I didn't know there was a therapy regarding ket.
I actually heard about this.
What's K-therapy?
Years ago. So actually, there's a bit on the NHS about it. I read up about it, and actually, it's quite interesting. It's usually used on people with depression, and it has like a 90%. Yeah, makes sense. They've been testing it now for like 20 years, so the trials have been going on for a long time, but it's still not like approved as like a form of therapy. I think you can get it, like you won't get it on the NHS. But it basically, it's kind of like slow released, like injection of ketamine, but it'd be like under medical professionals and a small amount. And apparently it's an out of body experience. It helps you delve into like past trauma and things like that. When Christy done it, she basically said that, you know, she lost her son, Jack, last year. And she said that she went back into her body and she had a conversation with him and it was quite healing. So I thought that was quite interesting, that one. And especially that she even spoke about it. She tweeted about it. So I wonder if this will kind of start a conversation about ketamine therapy. Will more celebrities start talking
about
it?
And is it a different kind of grade of ketamine? So I'm guessing Chrissy weren't in a K-hole. So do you know what I mean?
I don't think they put you in a K-hole, but I feel like it's like slow released, like
And if it's done under medical guidance.
Yeah, apparently like the medical one only lasts like 20 minutes. 10% of people have a really bad reaction to it.
I've seen people have a bad reaction to it. I've seen people walking around like crabs in K-holes. I won't go into too many, but I've seen people literally walking side to side like Sebastian.
Oh my
Terrible God. Terrible time, but that went under the NHS.
That wasn't under the NHS. No. That was some fun house party, I bet.
Well, I don't know if they felt very fun, bless them. They didn't know where they was at. But interesting.
Not. Interesting one.
Now we're at a stage where medical and science people resorting to drugs that it's like a lot of American states, like cannabis is known for being prescribed, isn't it?
Exactly. I feel like it's gone very progressive with using drugs and kind of therapies.
Whereas for a lot of people in the UK, maybe to us, where we hear about these drugs like weed and ket and things, and you just see them as like street drugs.
Yeah.
It's weird to get your head around that you can be doing that to get better.
Exactly. And I thought it was quite brave of her, actually.
Absolutely.
To say that, because there might be backlash, or there could be people, you know, who still question using that as a form of therapy. So, yeah, it's good that she spoke about it.
Considering what she's been through, who's anyone to judge to go through that? I mean, fair play. Take what you want to take to get over that.
Exactly it. So also poor Holly Willoughby, she's pulled out of her Marks and Spencer's Christmas advert. So she does one every year. She's been with them, I think, since 2005 or something like that. But it was a 1 million M&S deal. And she's pulled out of it. And it's all because of her kidnap attempt. Like, bizarre even saying that still. She wants to keep her family to be her priority right now to help herself heal. Yeah. So completely understand
completely
where she's coming from there.
But let's have it right. Ollie, she ain't short of a pound, no.
No, she's fine, I'm sure.
She's going to do all right in 2024 without that meal.
Exactly.
But I think, like you say, it's so strange to say it out loud, because a lot of people, like in the public eye, get death threats on social media, but to know something's gone as far as that, and it's not just someone firing off online threats.
No.
it's literally been planned, thought into, and the backstory that's gone into that.
That's it.
You'd be fucking terrified.
Terrified. And
so I don't blame her for not wanting to leave the house. I'd be scared to go to a studio to shoot the campaign.
I know. But the thing is, I'm sure, hopefully she's going through therapy to help her with it and stuff like that, because I couldn't imagine what she's going through. But I'd say she knows a lot more as well about that than we do.
Oh, God, yeah.
The police were probably watching these people for some time. They probably had to wait for these people to put this stuff into action before they could arrest them, because then the people could just say in court.
Because you've almost got to get as close to it possibly happening. Yeah.
To arrest them so they could go to jail. Because
they probably marked her card and tipped her off and said, look, this is how long we've known. This is what's gone into it. This isn't just someone sending a nasty tweet.
Exactly. Because there's no way those people would be arrested. They could say it was all a joke. So the police must know more, and they probably told her way more than the papers even know. So
terrifying.
I can imagine why she's terrified. She also pulled out of her L'Oreal campaign, which she's meant to be doing as well. And she's meant to be hosting Dancing on Ice, which starts this month.
What's the latest with this? Have ITV announced who's taken Phil's position yet?
So it's meant to be, oh God, what's his name? Oh God, I can't remember his name. Really funny. This is like charades now. The really funny guy.
Really funny. Mulhern.
Stephen
Okay,
Mulhern.
Yeah. Because they've got history. Yeah, Kids TV together.
Yes.
So is that announced, or that's still rumour mill?
No, he's definitely doing it. And it's unsure if Holly's going to do it. So they've ITV have told her to take her time in deciding whether she's going to do it, but she probably should make up her mind soon, because there's only a few weeks left.
Because that goes live from January, didn't it? But I guess they start doing VTs and recording.
Yeah, now, probably.
Yeah, but I think celebs, when you sign up to Dancing on Ice, I mean, I've not done it, but I think you start rehearsing in October. You start practicing, you get your skates.
Ah.
So the celebs doing it have probably been skating about for 2 months now. Cause, I mean, because you can't just get your skates Christmas Eve and then fucking next week. Here you go.
Even though some of them, it looks like that happened.
So it's TBC. So it's definitely Stephen Mulhern.
Definitely him. And then we'll see about Holly. But if not Holly, the papers are saying that he'll do it by himself, which is weird.
He'll
because
go
it's
solo,
always two.
Always two.
Yeah.
He's having a good year, isn't he? Because he's now doing, what was the old Noel Edmonds show?
Yes, Deal or No Deal. I know, he's going to be busy. How is he going to do it all?
He's everywhere. Good year for Stephen. Yeah. Right. Thank you, babe. I love that you always bring the tea, and it's lovely that you ain't going to now jet off. We've got you for the old show.
I'm so happy.
So, guys, we're going to go to a little trail, and then we're going to be back with the lovely Amanda Love It from The Traitors. See you in two.
FUBAR Radio presents Access
All Areas. We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to Amazon.
Yeah. Or vagina of cow.
Yeah. But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just the
social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Uncensored. This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
We're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office, I think.
Do you remember back in the day when it used to be like fashionable, or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook, and you'd be like, "Hello, I'm like in a relationship." And what was the other one? It was "It's complicated." Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed, so you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in your feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? And then you give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Give a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, wasn't it?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
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 You heard it here first, Foodbar Radio, and we are joined by the lovely Amanda Lovett from The Traitors. Amanda, how are you, babe?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Really good. Thank you for joining us here live on Access All Areas.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
How is everything going? Is it crazy town?
Oh, it's been, do you know, I've had the best year since The Traitors Ed. I've met so many fabulous people, had so many adventures in different ways. Spent my whole of the summer in Pride events, so it was fantastic.
Love a bit of Pride.
Yeah, can't beat a bit of Pride. So, I've been very blessed with all the opportunities I've had.
How did you find it? I'm always really intrigued. Like when people come off of a reality show, we know, I mean, and I love social media. It's got an amazing side to it, but there is a dark side. Have you come across any negativity on social since the show aired?
I think I've been lucky. The only negativity I had was when I went on GB News. And of course, I didn't know the station with GB News, and you know, I actually said we don't have that in Wales.
Lucky you.
Yeah, because nobody ever watches it, yeah. But I had some negative comments from
that. From saying that, what was it, a debate you was on, or
it was no, it's just because I was on there. And I was with that reverend at the time. To be honest, I haven't sort of gone into him much, who was very homophobic.
Yeah, I think he's been sacked since.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, been sacked since. Mm-hmm. So he should have, yeah. And didn't believe in gay marriages and things like that. And I was so cross at the time that I wasn't informed, because I wouldn't even choose to go and sit in my local pub or have a coffee with someone like that, regardless, you know, of the show or what came out of it. So a bit of negativity then, but a lot of my supporters did say to me, we love you in the good and we will love you in the bad. So that was lovely.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's what it's all about. Yeah. And people can't judge you for someone you're set on a TV, because you don't pick who's on a show with you. Do you know what I mean? Or
no,
someone's
I didn't know.
Views, you can't change someone's views.
Yeah,
exactly. And he asked me for a picture and I didn't even know anything about him, you know, because you know, grandmother of six and mother of five, I've been sheltered down here in the valleys, haven't I? So, you know, I didn't know.
Bless you.
Bless me. So I didn't know
what his views were.
Yeah.
And quite clearly they're not yours. Someone who spent all year in Pride events, you wouldn't be, do you know what I mean, having selfies with someone that's not really into that thing, shall we say.
No. I mean, I came out of The Traitors with this whole new family, which I'd never participated much in, because I didn't know much about them. But I have seen the most beautiful relationships. I met the most beautiful people. And I'm so proud that the LGBTQ plus community and the family have wanted me, because I told them, I'm in now, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. My new family.
Oh, we want you. I'm like you. I love the gays.
Yeah.
So do I.
I love them.
We're pro-gay here.
I love them. Bit of sparkle and colour. We all need it in our
lives. Yes, exactly.
Don't we just?
Exactly.
Don't we just?
I know. You can say that twice.
So, babes, I want to ask you more. So, you've written the introduction to this brand new interactive game book of The Traitors, which came out last month. Can you tell us more about how does this interactive game book work?
Right, Jess, so I've got the book here.
I love the cover of it. Oh, it's a big book. I love an hardback.
Yeah, you've got to, honestly, now, anyone, I'm not just saying it because it is, if you love The Traitors, this interactive game book gives you 20 different games in here. What we do, speaking quickly now, so we go in, you've got the foreword, and then the next page, you meet your 20 fellow contestants, which are 20 characters.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're from all walks of life. So you've got your 22 characters there. So they are your players. And then you start the game. You turn up outside the castle, like we did. It took me right back. And the host comes out and asks you a question. And from which answer you pick, it takes you to the next adventure.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there's 20 games that interact with each other. So the way you perceive, say you say, I don't know, yes, I would go to the dining room. It takes you to the dining room and then you get a question there that'll take you somewhere else.
Has there ever been like an interactive book like that?
I was
going to
say, I don't think I've heard of anything like that, but what an amazing idea.
So cool. Yeah.
It's honestly, it's really fantastic. You can play it by yourself. You can play it with other members of the family. You know, which questions they choose. I got to be honest, I love doing it by myself. Oh. Because I sort of just work my way through it then. And you can be banished as a traitor, banished as a faithful, succeed as a traitor.
And what's amazing about something like that, I'm guessing, and this is fascinating to me, because like we say, me and Ella, well, we can't think of a book like this before, but what an amazing idea, because it's a game without having to be on a computer, and there's so much time, screen time being used, but we're all guilty of it. I mean, I'm always on the phone or an iPad or whatever. But if someone gets that in their stocking this Christmas... If someone else in the family reads it after, if me and Ellen had it in the studio, my experience could be completely different to Ellen's, depending on what our answer is to the question.
Yeah, you can, and then you can do the missions, or you can choose not to, and you can do another game. And what I liked about it is, you know, my children weren't bookworms. You know, they follow me. I think one is the cleverest. I remember saying there's big plus to having, you know, kids that don't go to university. You've got more in the savings pot. But, you know, so I used to try and find them a book that they sort of liked. You know, one of them loves football. So I try and get a football book to get them into books and reading.
Yeah.
So this is ideal for any sort of teenager or anyone as well that doesn't really like getting ahead into a book, because it's a game. Reading it, you're playing a game, you know?
Good idea, it's a good way to get teenagers to read, isn't
to
it?
To read. I mean, I used to love a Roald Dahl. And I read a few Goosebumps back in the day, I weren't reading Charles Dickens and Moby Dick. Do you know? I mean, I've met a few Moby Dicks, I won't lie, Amanda. But I've never been that big on like proper, like real books. Not saying that Roald Dahl ain't a real book, God rest him.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean?
Famous Five was my era, Enid Blyton.
Oh, Enid Blyton.
bit of Enid Blyton. But after that, I wasn't... you know, I used to love listening to people in my English literature class, because they would, you know, be really into their books. And I used to think, oh, God, I don't understand it.
So I feel like that's going to be your Christmas present for everyone this year, is it?
Everyone. This has got to be the Christmas present.
And it's a lovely little stocking filler and something to play over the Christmas period. Because, I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but Boxing Day, I'm sick of the sight of turkey. I love Bubble and Squeak. Do you have Bubble and Squeak in Wales on Boxing Day?
Love a bit of Bubble and Squeak.
I prefer it to Christmas dinner. Do you have Bubble and Squeak? Well, you have to come round mine. So basically, and Squeak is you cut up all your cold meat. So whether you've got like a gammon, some turkey left, whatever you have, lamb, nut roast if you're veggie or whatever. Right. So you have all your meats, but then you bubble up what's left. So all your vegetables and potatoes, so it's like carrots, sprouts, basically every veggie.
Like in a stew?
No, so you kind of blend it and then you can fry it or grill it.
What?
So you fry the... everything, because you've got cold meats, but then you've almost got like, how would you describe the consistency? It's like a mashed potato, but of vegetables, potatoes.
Like a puree for children.
A puree of everything with your meats. A lovely bit of Tommy K or gravy. I'm a Tommy K boy. Stunning.
I don't know. That sounds like a Bush Tucker trial to me.
Get Ellen in the jungle next year.
They'd be like, here's Bubble and Squeak. I'm like, no!
We've been recycling vegetables for years, haven't we, doing Bubble and Squeak?
Yeah. And it's a good way to get, I mean, I don't have children, but a good way to get veggie. It was the best way to get veggie into me when I was young. So I loved it. I'd have a few pigs in blankets. Oh, I love a pig in a blanket. I eat so many. I become the pig in a blanket by the 27th. That's the problem. So you spoke about the social. You've been really lucky by that time you was on that show and you got a little bit of stick. But... What's the situation with you and others from the show? Is there still a WhatsApp group? Are you all friends?
We're all still friends. The WhatsApp group has sort of died out, I think. And a lot of us are busy, but we're all still friends. And you know, I think there's sort of a group of five or six of us that have stayed really close, but we're all there to support each other in any journey that we're going down. So it's great. It's been lovely, you know.
Wow. Have you met up with anybody since the show?
Yeah, we had a reunion about 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh, lovely. What did you do?
Yeah, in London. So, yeah, it was lovely because Maddie, of course, has become a mum since. So
of course,
it was lovely to catch up with her. Theo, I've done some Pride events with, but caught up with him again. Kieran, Wilf couldn't make it. But there was lots of us there. Faye, and of course, our beautiful Andrea came over to see us. We made sure she was there with us.
Oh, great. That's lovely.
And has there been, between us, it's only the three of us here, any jealousy, the fact that you've written the introduction to this book? Is anyone pissed off? That means, yes, yeah, spill some tea, spill. Amanda. Who's got the arsehole that you've wrote it?
I don't know if anyone's...
Yes, you do.
Oh, I mean, that silence was deafening, Amanda.
Yes.
I think some people in the cast thought that one or two or three or four cast members were having a little bit more than other cast members.
Okay. Actually,
that we weren't all involved in it, you know?
Why do you think some cast members got a little bit more than others?
I don't know. I mean, I went in there to, honestly, to have a couple of weeks on my own because I hadn't sat in my own bedroom without my kids phoning me or anything for about 30 years. So I thought, how nice would it be to be totally away from the family, find me again, have a bit of fun and try and win some money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't win it to think anything was going to come out of it. I think whether some people thought fame was going to come out of it or something. I mean, at the end of the day, we didn't know where we was going to go.
No.
You know, especially as traitors.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, perhaps I'll never sell another house again.
Yeah, I mean, some people just come out of these shows more popular than others, don't they? There's no rhyme or reason. Some people just, you know, connect with the audience a bit better.
Yeah.
And you do find that in certain shows, or I guess the majority of shows, when opportunities go to one person or a couple of cast members, it ruffles feathers and some people that they get the other. But really, it's not the per-, because who's going to turn down the opportunity?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well, no, I've been blessed and every opportunity that comes my way, you know, I just love it that people still want to hear from me and that, you know, Penguin approached me to do the foreword. I just think I'm so lucky and, you know, no, I'm not going to turn it down. And if I ruffle someone's feathers, well, my feathers are bigger.
Yeah, exactly. And what you've got to tell and say, don't be bitter, be better. Do you know what I mean?
That's it, exactly.
So, but what's your thought, Amanda? Because we're expecting early next year, season two or series two of Traitors. Do you think people going into it's been filmed. Yeah, do you think it's going to change the game? Because obviously when you guys, when a show starts, people go into it not knowing. There might be a couple that think, oh, I might get a little bit of a profile or get a bit of fame because people down the line of reality TV now think that that necessarily means I'm going to be a star. But do you think people doing season two will go into this with a bit more of a game plan because they know the success that you guys have had?
I think so. Because, I mean, we went into it. We didn't really understand the concept of it until we got in the castle.
Yeah.
You know, we were told to watch a bit of the, I think it was the Swiss one. Or, but, you know, until you're in there, I think they've changed it up. I'm excited to see it because I think there's new twists and turns that none of us are expecting.
Yeah, and that's a good idea, I think.
Keep people guessing.
Yeah, because the motto of it is you think you know how to play the game, but you don't.
Yes. So you have to keep people on your toes with this type of game. They can't know what's coming. I like that.
And will you guys, do you think, I mean, this is probably going to start the WhatsApp group again. This will get it activated, I'm sure. Do you think you'll all be sat there on launch night talking about it and like messaging each other going, oh my God, because it's going to bring back so many memories. Even though it's got changes to it, it's going to be a bit nostalgic.
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know, we were the first guys. I mean, it's going to be funny when I see someone sitting in my chair around the table or in Theo's chair around the table or Faye. So, yeah, I hope we all I hope we all do start, you know, thinking, what do you think of this one and what do you think of that one? And I'm really looking forward to sitting back with a gin and watching it and see if the traitors are team traitors this year.
So there's a new series of Traitors US which will feature an all-star celebrity cast. If you could pick one celeb to do the show, like a UK celeb, well, it don't have to be a UK celeb, it can be someone from the States, but that's kind of been done. Who would you pick? Who do you want to watch be a traitor or be on the Traitors? Mm.
Do you know, I'd love to see, I was lucky enough to do some filming with some people, which will be coming out in March. And I was lucky enough to meet Spence Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
Love him.
Lovely
I'd
boy.
I'd love to see him as a traitor.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
And I could see him doing a show like that.
Totally, yeah.
He'd love to do it. And, I think he'd make a good faithful as well, because I think he's really tuned on. So I think he'd be able to suss them out.
Oh, when you look like that, you'd make a good anything, Amanda. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Be a traitor, a faithful. The geezer's a salt.
Oh, he's so handsome.
Very handsome, yeah. And if you were to do any reality TV show next, what would it be? Or you said you were filming something. Can you talk about that?
I have filmed something which is going to air Easter Sunday, but we're not allowed to say yet.
Okay. Yes, you can.
Give us a hint and we'll guess.
I can't. There's a lot of walking involved. I've been lucky enough to do my dream, which was with Tommy Walsh. I've done Homes Under the Hammer for their 20th anniversary.
So that's
the celebrity version. So that's coming on the 21st December. So I love that. I'd love to do Celebrity Big Brother, but obviously there's so many big people out there. But I would just love to go and live in a house with everybody for 6 weeks.
Maybe next year.
Would that be your dream show, Celebrity Big Brother?
Yeah, I think so, because I think people don't, you know, I was on The Traitors. A lot of people don't know, you know, I've had I've got five children and a stepson, six grandchildren, you know, I was single mum for years and went through. So I've had a lot of things that people don't know. So I'd like people see that side of me, you know?
So
absolutely.
True.
But would they think I'm lying? The thing is, would they think I'm lying all the time?
Yeah,
ideal house, mate. Because after the success of the civilian one that's come back and it's got the new home of ITV, which I think's a great place for Big Brother. I think I love exactly how they've done it. ITV smashed it. Mm-hmm. It's rumoured, or is it confirmed now there is going to be a Celebrity Big Brother?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
I think there's a rumour mill, but they might do a celeb one again. I don't know if that's confirmed. I'm sure it must be.
I think there's rumours there's going to be one. I'm not sure if it's confirmed.
Oh, well, my children would
love me to go into the jungle, because all the bubble and squeak, I made them eat 3 years. All the vegetables, yeah. That would be payback time then. Yeah.
See, bubble and squeak. It's one thing, but chewing down on a kangaroo bollock, that's the problem, Amanda.
Exactly.
Not with Marvin is.
I know, Danny Beard once said to me, me and you could share a little kangaroo bollock, Amanda, be lovely, wouldn't
it? Oh, God. So basically, you're up for anything.
Jungle,
Big Brother.
I'd have to go, but...
I think you'd be great.
What about a bit of Dance on Ice? Are you brave enough to do it? Because I think that takes some talking of balls. I think that takes balls to do that show. To me, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
The idea of doing that.
Yeah.
Not with my teeth.
I know.
Be on that plane straight back to Turkey.
Oh, God. And your broken leg.
At 55, I don't know if I, you know, I've had the men throwing me around. I don't know if I could do that anymore, if my bones would, you know, stand up for it.
Oh, you and me both, babe. You and me both. It'd
like
be nice to be paid for it, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So I know you can't say two more. So the first, we're going to say Easter Sunday, did you say?
Easter Sunday, there's, myself and another six well-known people, and we're going for long walks and talks.
Amazing. And plug again, where can we buy the interactive book from, Amanda, my love?
Amazon. It's the bestseller on Amazon. So, honestly, it's £10, and it really is worth it, because you could take it on the train, you could sit on a beach with it. If you want to play a game, get off your phones, as you said. You don't have to wait for board games. Get this, 20 different games in there. And
amazing.
See if you can be a traitor. You can apply for Series 3 then.
Yeah, exactly. That's good training.
That's a good idea. And not just a good stocking filler, also good for Secret Santa. When people put a budget in the office of a tenner, and you think, what can I buy if I can barely buy a chocolate?
Yeah,
you can't get anything. I mean, you can't get, I don't want to say, a Terry's chocolate orange, but that's about a tenner now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a great idea and a game for everyone. Mm-hmm. Oh, babe, thank you so much, Amanda. An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I can't wait to see you on Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I know, I'm looking forward
to
it.
There you are. Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
And if Celebrity Big Brother comes back, I'll be waiting for you to walk through that famous eye.
Yes, you wait for me to go through. Happy
day. Take care. Have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you.
Bye.
And you.
Bye, babe.
Bye-bye.
It feels weird wishing people Merry Christmas
already. Merry Christmas. You're the first I've heard say that.
Do you know what it is? I walked into the building here at Fubar. We've got a stunning Christmas tree downstairs at reception. You've seen it.
I saw it. It's gorgeous.
I ain't put mine up yet. Going to do it. On that note, I know you'd love to hear about all my decorating, but we're going to go to a little break and then we're back with my lovely little pre-record from Paul Brunson, Married at First Sight. Obviously, celebs go dating. But until then, we'll be away for just 2 minutes. See you then.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
We've got our second guest of the day, and he goes by the name Darren Harriet.
It's nice because you do a show in like an arts festival, and they're much more forgiving. Right. Arty, ain't it? They're all just like, oh, hello, who's this guy? Let's see what he has to say. Oh, he's from the Midlands and he's black. Oh, this is different. You know, they're relaxed and they're, oh, yeah, very nice. But I'm like, hey, what about if I'm in Crawley on a Wednesday? It needs to be a real hit them hard show as opposed to like.
Is that the comedy equivalent of a Stoke on a freezing Tuesday night for football?
I was going to say Stoke in my head, but I realised there's no Stoke dates. But I was literally going to say Stoke on a Tuesday.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville, every Wednesday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to FUBAR Radio. We are live. This is Access All Areas. Now, as I promised, literally just before the top of the show, I did a little pre-record with the lovely Paul Brunson. So have a little listen to this and we will speak to you in about 15 minutes. Hello, Paul. How are you doing, mate?
Bobby,
good to speak.
What's going on?
Good to speak to you again. Thank you for coming on the show.
No, I tell you what, this is great. I tell you, I mean, you know, I got a chance to meet you. Now we're doing this together. It's incredible.
I know, I've waited all this time and now our paths keep crossing all the time. We're like the central line. I love it. So, Paul, obviously I want to talk to you about this exciting campaign that you got with Monzo and the free couplings like cancelling guy, which I'm so interested in. There's so much I want to ask about. But obviously I can't start the interview without talking about the recent maths. So,
all right, let's do it.
Let's start with a little bit of Married at First Sight. How did you find filming the recent series?
You know, this was definitely, you know, it was the most dramatic. A lot of people are calling it the most explosive. It was definitely the most popular. You know, quite honestly, Bobby, it was probably the hardest. It's probably, I mean, I've been on for 4 years, four different series. This was probably the hardest.
And do you generally find that, Paul, every year that goes by, does it get that little bit harder?
You know, it has been, actually. And I think it's a combination of several things happening. The contributors, they get more astute. You know what I mean? They're more aware of what's happening behind the camera. So they're more astute there. Also, and this is a great thing, is the contributors are more diverse.
Yes.
And I think that with the diversity, that brings deeper conversation, more complex topics. So it definitely gets more challenging, but I actually love that.
Like you say, where they're getting more clued up 4 years down the line, when you look back to like your first year that you did this, I guess it's a massive difference because, like anything, when something becomes a huge hit on TV and people have been fans of the show before they apply, they've already got a rough idea of what they're going into and they're probably already second guessing, where the first year or two, people just sat there and it's a whole new kettle of fish.
Yeah, I mean, you got it exactly. And I think that All reality television shows are facing that same challenge. And you have contributors coming on that are very, you know, very shrewd. You know, they, you know, it's interesting. I've talked to people who haven't yet, who haven't made it on the show, but, you know, during the casting process, and they will readily admit that they want to model their career like so-and-so. You know, I find it actually, there's someone who I talked to last year who was applying, and she said, you know, I've watched Megan McKenna's career, and I want to have a career just like Megan McKenna or just like Fern McKenna. It's like, you know, it's really interesting to see how people model themselves after other, you know, television personalities.
And for someone that's in the game, we know that actually that's the worst thing you can do, because the audience aren't stupid anymore. Like, reality TV is no longer the new kid on the block, and like, the audience knows how it works. And I think that someone sat home on their sofa with their Maltesers watching something, you can tell when someone's being authentic and when they're not. And to go in with to any show, especially something like a dating show, because you've got to be, I mean, there's reality TV, but when it comes to dating reality TV, I always take my hats off to people, because you've got to be so raw and expose every part of you. Like, you're going up for rejection. So reality TV can be hard for everyone, but dating's a whole different ballgame. So to try and play a game and outwit the people on the show in your situation, I bet you guys probably sit there thinking, hold on a minute, don't try and play us. And producers also aren't stupid now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to your point, you said something that really I think we need to spend some time on, and that is that you cannot mimic anyone else. And that's just like in life, you can't do that. Your strongest asset in life is your differences, like what makes you unique. And we have to understand there's 8 billion people in the world, but there's no one who's ever had the same life experiences as you, right?
Absolutely.
No one will ever walk this earth exactly how you walk it, and no one will ever walk this earth in the future exactly how you walk it. So we have to understand that we are all extraordinary, right? We're extraordinary. And when you double down on what makes you different, that is actually your superpower, whether that be on television, whether that be at work, whether that be at, you know, in your relationships. When you double down on what makes you different, that is your superpower.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Now, Paul, I've got to ask you, because obviously since the cameras went down on the last series of Maths, it's now come out in the press that Matt and Shona are now dating. Has that surprised you? Did you see that coming?
You know, I wish I could say I did. I wish I could. But I did not see that coming at all. But I will also say, I think they're a great match.
Like, yeah.
They definitely complement each other, and I think we can all see that.
I don't know if you're allowed to answer this, but I'm going to ask anyway, Paul, because I feel like we get on well and we've bonded very well the last few weeks. Our paths keep crossing, as we said at the top of the interview. But have you got a favorite contestant from Maths UK, and why?
You know, that's a good one. And I you know, I always say that I shoot straight. So let me think on this for a second. I will say this. I can give you almost like a category. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you know what, Bobby? We might have even talked about this too when I saw you last. But I tend to strike up strong relationships with the biggest troublemakers on the show. Like the ones who, you know, the media tend to really go after. So yeah. Like, for example, in this series, Brad, a lot of people went after Brad. And I find, you know, I have a good relationship with Brad. Nathaniel also from this one, I have a good relationship with Nathaniel. Last series, everyone seemed to go after Matt, you know, the Matt and Whitney.
Yeah.
Matt is my guy. Going back to previous series, like Nikita, everyone went after Nikita.
Yes.
Before Jasmine, that's my little sister. So it's like, I think maybe the reason for that is because I don't see people as being bad per se. I see behaviors as being bad, but not people as being bad.
And do you think are you consciously, not calling them underdogs, but consciously, like you say, the ones that the press seem to go for and that the press take such a strong view of, and I guess the audience on social media as well, would you say there's part of the fact that you back them more because you know that they're putting up with a lot worse than the others? Is it like backing the underdog?
You know, that's a great insight, man. I mean, I've honestly never thought about that, but right now, as you say it, I think that's probably part of it. Yeah. You know, I've always seen myself as an underdog in life. And I feel like more people bet against me than for me. And so I think I am always going to be the one who backs the underdog. And so that probably does play a role in it. So that's really good insight. I mean, I feel like I'm talking to my therapist right now.
Over your therapist, really, as long as you give me some dating advice in return, Paul, happy days. But no, I completely... Well, I think that actually sometimes there's a positive in being the underdog in terms of when someone gives you a kick in the belly, like you felt it. I know I've certainly felt it. I think that, I don't know whether it's a subconscious or maybe a conscious and we just don't really think that deep into it. But when like the chips are down and you feel like you're an underdog, I think sometimes we feel we've got more to prove. And actually that puts fire in your belly. And I think that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. You need to have the resilience, though.
Absolutely.
You know, when you think about the different traits that we have, different behaviors we have, one thing that we find a lot in research on relationships is that it's something called resilient resourcefulness. And that is the ability to, you know, I know that you've gone through this. It's like you get knocked down, you get back up, and not only do you get back up, but you win. That's the resourcefulness. You know, you're able to just figure out how you could put together whatever you need to put together to win. And you need that in a relationship, especially if you're arguing, you know, in a relationship. So that's something that I see. I see that fight in a lot of the contributors, and I try to, you know, I try to help them with that.
So moving on from maths, this will be my last question, and then I want to know all about the Monzo campaign. But Celebs Go Dating, obviously you're very famous for being on Celebs Go Dating. Who would you like to see celebrity-wise on the next series?
Without a doubt, and I think I'm going to keep saying this now, this will be my first time saying it, but I'm going to keep saying it over and over. Bobby, we need to see you back.
Would you like me to come back?
Yes, because you know, I wasn't there when you were on. Anna wasn't there. Dr. Tara wasn't there. So I am now going to, we're officially starting the campaign to bring you back.
Get Bobby back on CJD.
I
would love to, because I think I spoke to you before. I was the first gay guy to ever do it. And I think that was back in series 3. And we're talking back when it was like the Nadia and Eden days. So the show's evolved to a whole different ballgame now. We've got you and the amazing Anna. So, yeah, let's put it out there, Paul.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, let's be serious about it. You know, talk to your agent, manager, in the next production meeting. I'm going to bring it up. Like, let's make it happen.
Make it happen, Paul. Oh, I love you, mate. Now, as I'm saying, I want to talk about this Monzo campaign because I think this is such a good idea. And this is where, because I think people still are a little bit embarrassed to talk about money with partners, especially where you're dating. But I think it's quite important to find the right way to bring it up. So what is this couples counselling that you're offering? Because you're doing like a mini series of videos, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is big, you know, because, you know, whenever we're doing couples counselling, it could cost hundreds and thousands, you know, of pounds. But what Monzo has allowed is we have created really what is a masterclass, and it's on joint accountability. And it's where I'm literally just sitting down and I'm going through, okay, how do you manage money with your partner? How do you resolve problems and conflict with your partner? What do you do when your partner is fibbing, which is a big issue that we have, right? And that's exactly what the masterclass series is all about. And it's at monzo.com, completely free. It's one of these things where I encourage everybody to check out.
And what's your thoughts? I think we're running out of time, so it's my last question, but I'm really intrigued to know the answer, Paul. And it obviously goes down to probably exactly, I'm sure you've already recorded a video on this, but can you have a spunker in a relationship and a saver? Will that ever work? If someone's out there spending everything and one's always saving, is that doomed to fail?
You know, Bobby, it is definitely, we have a full video on this, and I'll give the teaser to it, is that there's a concept that is, you know, you go in equal or you go in with equity. And
love that.
In this kind of series, I say this is the importance of going in with equity and teach you how to be equitable in a relationship. So it is definitely in there, monzo.com.
Everyone check that out, guys. Oh, Paul, thank you so much for coming on my show.
Bobby, I tell you what, I'm just going to start saying, get Bobby back. It's the GBB.
Yes.
Get Bobby back.
Get Bobby back. Yeah. Get Gobby Bobby back. Paul, I think you can make it work for me.
All right, done. Hopefully, I'll see you on the next series.
I'll be knocking on that famous door soon, hopefully. Take care, Paul. Look after yourself. Right. See you soon.
You too, Bobby.
Bye, mate.
Take care. I'll see you. All right, bye-bye.
Such a lovely man.
So nice.
We love him. Fab chat with everyone. Like, good show.
Yeah, totally. It really was.
Thank you for being an amazing co-host. We've overrun a little bit tonight. So, guys, that is pretty much it. Until next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.